Did you ever play the over-under game with your friends? You know, think I could eat that slice of pizza in under 30 seconds? I know I did. If you have, then you're going to love Pick 6, the new fantasy game from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code DKHOOPS for a shot at huge cash prizes. That's code DKHOOPS only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including, but not limited to, Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Pitbull.
I think that education is the real revolution because as much as we speak about all the problems that there is in society and the world today, my mother's always told me, son, don't worry, the world's always been coming to an end. Don't let it scare you out of living.
Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, what's that show? It's the VC show.
Hey, what's that show?
It's the VC show.
Hey, what's that show?
It's the VC show.
It's the VC show.
Season 2, let's go. The VC show, season 2. Yeah, we back again. Got the world tuning in for show, so go and tell a friend. I Heart got me on the squad. I slam dunk the win, so go on there. Kick your feet up so you can listen in.
Hey, what's that show?
It's the VC show.
Hey, what's that show?
It's the VC show.
Hey, what's that show?
It's the VC show.
It's the VC show.
Season 2, let's go!
Party people, welcome to the VC show. I'm your host, VC. A lot to talk about. The playoffs are here. Also the NFL draft. So we're going to get into a little bit of that. So kick your feet up. The VC show starts now.
The lob. The fans got what they wanted.
Vinsanity reigns supreme.
For those of you that watch the playoffs and are really tuned in, everybody knows the Knicks and the 76ers are battling it out. And it's made for a fantastic series so far. Series is 2-1 Knicks, obviously. Knicks, I mean, playing great this year with all of the injuries they've had, you know, guys in and out of the lineup, you know, losing guys left and right. You just don't know. And obviously shout out to Thibodeau for, you know, getting guys to buy in, but Jalen Brunson has played, at an MVP level. I mean, it says a lot about a little guy. I mean, I think of when I say little guy, you think of what Allen Iverson did into the league. And I'm not comparing the two, ladies and gentlemen. I'm just saying when a little guy being able to dominate and carry his team like he has, you know, Jalen Brunson has done, you know, Julius Randle out for the season. And you just don't know. Obviously, I originally thought when Jalen Brunson coming over, he's a great asset to Julius Randle to help him, give him another guy in the playoffs. And then here we are where Jalen Brunson is looking for the supporting cast. And, you know, I mean, when you're in a situation like that, I think more than anything, it's great to have someone like, a Josh Hart, DiVincenzo, guys that played ball with him, to lean on. He knows how they are. And then everybody else has fallen in line. McBride has been playing great, obviously. OG has been playing great. They defend. They were outstanding. They found ways to win. Yes, A lot of us, you know, the 2 minute thing, we've heard a lot of people, Shaq, Charles Barkley, multiple people talking about the 2 minute report or whatever. Shaq doesn't feel like it's a great idea. My rebuttal to that would be, for a long time, people were upset about wanting to hold referees accountable for, missing calls or whatnot. And we finally get the 2 minute report. I get what people are saying. It's like, okay, it doesn't change anything. I agree. But you at least want, our thing for a long time, when players got fined or, missed plays or missed game winning shots, it was all over the media. They wanted referees to be held accountable. Likewise. And this was where we are. So we, the people, complain about it. We get it now. We're seeing that it's useless. So it goes hand in hand. I think it's good to know that, it's not overlooked either. I know, it was said, just keep it in-house. That's fine too. And I think many years ago it was kept in-house, but we wanted to know that, the referees were, if you would, reprimanded or held accountable for missed calls or what the case may be. And that's what we're getting. So, I thought, some fouls. I wasn't very happy with, in the late game play calling for, Tyrese Maxey, cause I said more so than the play. I feel like even if Tyrese Maxey gets the layup, which Hartenstein blocks, if he gets the layup, oh yeah, it's all great. Oh, big, comeback, whatever they're leading. You still give the Knicks five to seven seconds, I can't remember, of opportunity to hit the game winning shot anyway. So, I just thought, as far as timing wise, Nick Nurse is a fantastic coach. He's a champion. He understands. I just thought that, that play to get, I like the idea of getting Maxey in the open court being fast, but I thought it was a little too much time for that type of play. I thought the pick and roll worked where if he wanted to, exploit Hartenstein, the Embiid Maxey pick and roll exploited that situation because they were in switch mode probably the last 2-3 minutes of the game where, they got what they wanted, which got them in the position to win the game. So on and so forth. I think, some turnovers happened. I mean, DiVincenzo, fearless, big shot by Brunson for three, so on and so forth. And, on the other side, it's unfortunate with Joel Embiid's, injury. Yes, he had the injury coming back and then he gets hurt again, clearly limping, but what can you say when this man is still putting 30 balls up with one leg against a very good Knicks defense. And then he goes for game three, puts up 50 and finds a way to win. I'll say about this series, in game one and two, the one thing I understood the game plan of allowing Josh Hart being the guy, if we lose, we're going to lose to him. But you saw in game three, now Josh Hart is more in a rhythm shooting the three. So you can't just, give him dare shots. I'm going to let you shoot it, whatever, because he started to hurt them. And yes, they were able to pull away at home, but he's now in a shooting rhythm and he feels good. And he's now giving them X factor or another person, giving Jalen Brunson another guy to help with the scoring load along with DiVincenzo. On the other side, my concern, it's always said that players, your role players, whatever, play well at home. We're still looking for Buddy Hill. We're still looking for Tobias Harris to give them another third score because you can't rely on, particularly with Joel Embiid like he is. I just said, yes, he put up 30 balls on one leg. Okay, but you're asking a lot for him to sustain this throughout this possibly a 7-game series. And Tyrese Maxey's playing out of his mind. And you knew Jalen Brunson was going to break out of his shell and he wasn't going to play bad again. He was killing, as well, game three. So, Tobias Harris, I think, is huge in this series for the 76ers, as well as Buddy Hield, because those guys open the floor. Because you look at game three, even though Joel Embiid was shooting over anybody who was in front of him, he was finishing in over anybody in front of him. Clearly, he was feeling a lot better, able to power through multiple bodies. You know, yes, he was a little gimpy, but still able to have a little thrust and a little pop in his step. But if Buddy Hield, if Tobias are hitting shots, those shrinks and double teams are a little, you're hesitant and they're a little late now, and Joel can really get to work and will his team to win. So it'll be interesting to see how things go moving forward. So yeah, it's hard to pick who's going to come out of this series, but I think Embiid's performance, his willingness to play through these injuries, you like that, being that it's been a lot of talk about load management and guys being injured, not really fighting through it. This is the playoffs, and you know the old school guys always talk about, man, playoff time, we're all hurt, you find a way, and Joel is finding a way. He kind of gives me the Willis Reed vibe, coming out of the locker room, finding a way to win for the Knicks many, many years ago. I even think this battle gives the me versus Iverson 2001 back and forth. Let's see if Brunson responds with the 50 ball himself. Who knows? We'll see. Did you ever play the over-under game with your friends? Think I could eat that slice of pizza in under 30 seconds? I know I did. If you have, then you're going to love Pick 6, the new fantasy game from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Here's how to play during the NBA playoffs. Pick between 2 and 6 players and choose if they'll have more or less of his stat. Rebounds, points, assists, and more. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code DKHOOPS for a shot at huge cash prizes. That's code DKHOOPS only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including but not limited to Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
All right, moving on. The Cavs were number four, playing the number five Magic. I was interested in this series. I don't think the Magic can win the series because of lack of experience. Not saying that they can't find a way, but I do think this playoff run for the Orlando Magic makes them scary next year. With Paolo, Suggs, the Wagner brothers, all of the young core, Markel, I think he's played in a few, gaining this experience because you can teach Jamal Mosley, first of all. I still think he should be up there for Coach of the Year for the unbelievable job he's done for the team this year. But I'm going to throw it out there, whether if he's in the list or not, or if he doesn't win it, I thought he's done a fantastic job. And he's gotten young guys to buy in to what he's selling, which has now put them on this stage. And they had an unbelievable win, game three, 121-83, blowout. I thought they could win a game or two. I thought they would have a better showing, obviously, at home. But this is the growing pains, if you would, for a young team like, or a young player like Paolo. You know, I remember as a player, you know, you can talk about what the playoffs like, and, you know, you can't make mistakes, but you have to go through it. And I think those guys have now gotten three games under their belt. And, you know, they will continue to improve the longer this series goes. But the Magic are going to be scary in the future, particularly if they can keep their coach and that core group together. Donovan Mitchell, you know, this is a important but interesting year to me for Donovan Mitchell because, you know, this is a series. I feel like a signature series for him. He must find a way to come out of. You know, a lot of talk about, can he lead a team? You know, obviously deep into the playoffs, is a very young and talented team. I think they're very capable of getting out of the first round. Who knows what happens after that? But man. It's still, I think, like I said, a lot of people don't really care to watch it. I still think it's an interesting series just for seeing these young, talented teams, because these are two teams in the future that we'll be watching making a run in the playoffs, in my opinion. Let's move back up to the top of the East, and the Boston Celtics, number one, versus the Heat, or number eight, series of tie, 1-1. And I'm interested. You know, I've been interested to hear what, you know, analysts, fans, people think about this series and the performance. I'm a little disappointed, with the Boston Celtics and how they're approached. Now, I say that, but I also say this has been a heated rivalry. No pun intended. And this is, we can all agree this is not your everyday eight seed. And even without Jimmy Butler, you can see that, you know, this is not an easy series. Like, I think the Boston Celtics should handle the Miami Heat. Yes, I think the Miami Heat are going to give them a fight, but it just seems like when the Celtics get a lead and get comfortable, and that's when we see the worst. You know, all of their mistakes, and we see the worst version of the Boston Celtics. Obviously, they won game one, 114-94. And then I think a disappointing performance to me by the Boston Celtics in game two. But man, shout out to Bam and Tyler Hero. Well, I'm going to say both of those guys for stepping up. No Jimmy Butler. You know, Jimmy Butler in the regular season, he's good. Jimmy Butler in the playoffs is why we call him Playoff Jimmy, Jimmy Buckets. Whatever you choose to call him. Tyler Hero has stepped up. And I think this is a blessing in disguise. I mean, obviously the longer the series goes, the more opportunity you possibly, I don't know if we're going to see Jimmy again, but like you're creating a monster. And this rivalry, this is the tough out for the Boston Celtics, which is, I think at the end of the day, is going to make them better. Do I think the Boston Celtics will win the series? Yes, I do. Yes, I do. I just think they need a little more consistency. I think White has been Derek White has been fantastic. He's given them a third score. Porzingis has been a little up and down. It's been said, and I'll say it again. My concern with Porzingis was health and just consistency, because I think he's damn good. And I think he's a great third scorer to them, just being consistent. But they have the luxury of, if he doesn't play well, Derek White has been playing great. He's been playing great. And they have, you know, ultimately four guys. Even Drew Holiday's another guy who gives you a score, you know, a guy you can play through, and he would be the fifth guy. You know, Brown was fantastic game two. I think he had like 33. So this series is just interesting to me. And now it shifts to Miami. I do think Miami will win at least one at home. I think Boston's going to have more of a bounce back. I think you'll see more of an aggressive Jason Tatum. At least I hope so. After a loss, I think he's very capable. Sometimes I think he takes the back seat. You know, to guys, I like how his approach early, getting guys going to make the game easier for him. But sometimes I think late third and in middle of the fourth, when I think he should kind of step it up and kind of take over. You know, but he has the luxury of a Jaylen Brown who's very capable of scoring too. So, yeah. What do you say? Let's move over to another interesting series. The Milwaukee Bucks and the Pacers. Bucks number 3, Pacers who are number 6. 1-1. 1-1. And it's a lot of interesting things in this. And here's another young team. I felt the Pacers gained some experience by the play-in tournament. Is the play-in tournament like the playoffs? No. But it had a playoff feel. So it gave them some a general idea of what it's like. Now, game one, Dame went crazy. Coach Rick Carlisle made some great adjustments. Dame didn't score in the second half. He had 34 in the first half. He was unconscious. They did a great job. Yes, they did not win. They lose by, 15 or so. But, you know, they made adjustments and made it close, you know, made it a game, if you would. And then game two, they looked more like the Pacers, you know, the Milwaukee Bucks did a great job of taking Halliburton out. I think he had 9 points. I think 9 points. He was close to a triple-double, but, you know, it wasn't a typical Halliburton game where he had, you know, 15, 20 points and 12 assists and zero turnovers. And, you know, their guy right now has been Pascal Siakam, which he's a great addition to the Pacers, because he's been in this situation before. And if things get stagnant, they need a bucket, a go-to guy. I mean, 36 game one, 37 game two. And they're playing with confidence. It was interesting, what Portis had to say about the Pacers being front runners. And, you know, that's just young guy, you know, and I get it. He's a vet. He's been around. And, you know, Dame kind of talked about this with Halliburton as well. It's along the same lines of being front runners, but you know, young guys, you know, they're enjoying the moment. It's just the new age. And, you know, we as veterans, we're taught, don't get too high wins. Don't get too low in losses. You kind of got to find a happy median. And here's why. When you're in playoff series and you're trying to win the series to move on, and maybe a star player doesn't play well, or a team in general, they're not playing well. You know, in this situation, Milwaukee won and then Pacers come back and win. You do not, and I repeat, you do not, you want to be yourselves, okay? But you do not want to give team bulletin board material. You don't want to give these guys any extra motivation to go out and find another gear. You know, so that's the one thing I say to the Pacers, you know, tread lightly. Enjoy yourselves. You guys want to have fun? Do that. You know, just you have to find a way to do it. You don't want to poke the bear. Like these guys are, you know, the Bucks feel like they have a legitimate shot with what they have. Obviously, there's no Giannis. But you just don't want to give them bullet board material to come out and hit another gear and you lose a series off of just silly stuff. All right? But have your fun. You know, the Pacers have been exciting, high scoring all season long. But you got to be careful how you go about that, because I tell you, Dame is doing Dame things. I'm just interested to see if Giannis comes back. How does that still work? Does Giannis take a backseat to Dame because he's in rhythm and he's extremely important to the Bucks' success? Or does he try to do, does Doc try to implement Giannis as their number one guy and kind of putting Dame off the ball again and he loses the rhythm? You know, as a coach, that's really the toughest decisions you have to make. It's finding a way to obviously satisfy both of your scores, but this is the situation where your score is coming back, get him in rhythm. I feel like Giannis is a guy who can, he can get touches off a transition. You can post him up every now and then. He can get offensive rebounds. He can just, he plays with a high motor, so you find a way, but at the same time, you gotta keep Dame where Dame is. You need him playing like this, feeling like the old Dame of Portland. That's my 2 cents of that. Did you ever play the over-under game with your friends? Think I could eat that slice of pizza in under 30 seconds? I know I did. If you have, then you're going to love Pick 6, the new fantasy game from DraftKings, an official partner of the NBA. Here's how to play during the NBA playoffs. Pick between 2 and 6 players and choose if they'll have more or less of a stat. Rebounds, points, assists, and more. Download the new DraftKings Pick 6 app now and use code DKHOOPS for a shot at huge cash prizes. That's code DKHOOPS only on DraftKings Pick 6. The crown is yours.
Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. 18 plus in most eligible states. Age varies by jurisdiction. Eligibility restrictions apply. Pick 6 not available in all states, including, but not limited to, Connecticut and New York. For up-to-date list of states, visit dkng.co/pick6states. Void where prohibited. See terms at pick6.draftkings.com/promos.
If you love sports and true crime, then there's a new podcast from executive producer Dan Patrick and hosted by me, Jay Harris, that you won't want to miss. Playing Dirty Sports Scandals. Each week, I'm squeezing the juiciest details from some of the biggest sports scandals ever. I'm talking Marcus Dixon, Olympic gymnastics, Cain Velasquez, salacious Super Bowl-level scandals. Join me on the dark side of sports by listening to Playing Dirty Sports Scandals on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
What's up, everybody? This is Stephen A. Smith. When I'm not at my day job, First Take, you can find me in my studio hosting the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast. Tune in every Monday, Wednesday, and Friday, at the very least, as I bring you all new episodes that feature the biggest headlines in the world of sports, pop culture, business, and politics. You'll hear my unfiltered opinions on those nauseating Cowboy fans, the chaos in Washington, D.C., and trending topics on social media, as well as my straight shooter interviews with top celebrities and game changers. And I occasionally give out love advice. Yes, it's true. If you want to know my true feelings about something, I'll give it to you straight. So listen to the Stephen A. Smith Show podcast on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcast.
Oh, you guys tired yet? Nah, let's keep going. Let's go into the West. And this Wild Wild West is, it's must-see TV. I mean, I think the playoffs in general has been must-see TV. There's been some disappointments, obviously, Embiid's injury in the East. Magic, Cavs, okay. Boston, Miami, I still think there's going to be a lot of drama, so it's still must-watch. Pacers, Bucks, there's a little trash talking, with Bobby Portis and those coming out about the hot. So, you're going to get some drama there. But I'm going to start with, obviously, let's start with OKC being number one and the Pelicans. I thought the Pelicans did what they had to do to get in the playoffs. And then Zion goes down. And it's unfortunate because I shout out to Zion. Let me start by saying Zion did an unbelievable job for what was said about him. You know, what we were curious about him coming into the season, losing 20-something pounds, 25 pounds, I think it was, during the season. That's commitment. That is commitment. That is showing that things are okay, because it didn't sound great in New Orleans leading into the season. And, you know, they're saying, oh, we don't really see him in the building during the summer and, you know, blah, blah, blah. And here we are now where his commitment has helped this team propel into the playoffs, and he goes down. And it's unfortunate, man. Because you love to see when things are rocky, guys, you know, or organization player work it out and good things comes out of it. And, you know, it just puts now the onus on Brandon Ingram to step it up. And he's coming back from injury. I don't think they have enough. I think Zion makes things a little tougher. It'll be interesting to see Chet against Zion, different body styles. But two players who are going to bang a lot, I'd have been interesting to see. But let's talk about OKC. They're winning this series right now, two games to none. Do I think SGA is the MVP? I do. And I say that Jokic is Is it easy to get bored with Jokic being this dominant and great? Yes. Do I think Jokic would be the number one, would be MVP if they were number one? Yes. At some point, we have to reward the player, that player, SGA for this instance, for particularly being in the West, particularly putting up the numbers he's putting up, playing like he's playing, and I'm talking about SGA. Just like I'm getting ahead of myself. Just like Jokic last year, best player, best team in the toughest division or conference. And we're seeing it again. I think Jokic is by far, SGA 1 and 2 right now, best players in the league. You're welcome to argue with that all you want, and that's fine. But I think for a team that's the youngest in the playoffs, you're expecting a lot of mistakes. You're expecting them not know how to finish. And forgive me when I say this, if y'all see it as bad, I think they got the right team for the first round, with the situation with Zion being out. And they can learn, but still win games to give themselves a chance down the line, if that makes sense. And, I said this about the Magic, and I'm going to say it about OKC. You can talk about what the playoffs is like as a role player, as a superstar, guy that has in hand, depending on the coach you play against. These guys haven't seen it all until you go through it. So there again, because they're going against the Pelicans, that's just one version of what they're going to see when they see another great defensive team down the line, whether it be whoever, Wolves, Denver, whoever they see, whatever team, it's going to be a different situation and scenario that they're going to have to figure out. But you get a series under your belt, feel confident to move on, and they've earned this number one spot, so we got to give them their props. If they can stay healthy, I think they'll make some noise. And OKC and Denver, would be something to watch in the conference finals. It's my two cents on that. Speaking of the Nuggets, who are number two in the West, Lakers, who are number seven in the West. And a lot was talked about this series, obviously their history from last year. But let's just go back a little bit with a lot of people were saying the Lakers should not win to avoid the Denver Nuggets to try to get the eighth seed to play OKC. And I hear you. Based on the history and the losing streak, that all sounds great. But what will you guys or people think and or say, which as a player, and I'm speaking from a player's perspective, if they do that or did that, what would you guys say to us as players if now we go and lose that other game and we're out altogether? It's just a dangerous game to play. And I understand Darvin Ham's position. And I think some of the players, you know, I think some of the players were talking about it. I know I saw Darvin Ham saying that, no, we're winning to get ourselves the best possible position, to, you know, in the playoffs, because you don't want to fool around with that. I think D-Lo was another guy who said, you know, we're just here, we're trying to win and get in and worry about it from there. And I know us as fans on the other side, we're saying, yeah, I hear you, but we want to try to get the best possible position to go as far as possible because we're trying to avoid a team, you know, and that does happen. Don't get me wrong. You know, it does happen, but that's typically more in the regular season when you can kind of dictate or manipulate situations more so at play-in tournament. You don't have that much room to take those chances. But then when we get into the games, you know, 114-103 game one, Nuggets win, and 101-99 game two. Talk about those two first on the road. I think Anthony Davis has been playing lights out. Lights out. And I think the storyline between game one and game two, being that Denver found a way, is that they're going to put Anthony Davis on Jokic a little more instead of Rui Hachimura and try to neutralize Jokic. And remember I said about the Indiana Pacers Bucks game about bulletin board material. And I think that was, you know, obviously, oh, you're going to put this guy, you know, he's, you know, Anthony Davis talking about how he's not in the defensive player of the year and he feels like he should. And then all of a sudden they're going to put him on him a lot more, so on and so forth. So, you know, as a player, you know, it's a challenge. You're up for the challenge, but bulletin board material. So they say, oh, he can stop me, is how I think Jokic is thinking, because Jokic came out ready to play, going at AD, getting into the paint, getting his floater, obviously getting other guys involved. And then obviously the Lakers established themselves early, you know, well, early and often, well, often, let me just say that, in game two, up 20. And I know a lot has been said about foul calls and what was it called. And that's fair, particularly when you get down to crunch time near the end of the game. You know, you want the game to go, you know, smooth and seamless where there's no foul calls. If it's a foul, it's a real foul. If not, the foul should be called, call it. But here's the issue. Here's my issue. You guys were up 20 and you're a veteran team. You're not a young team. Regardless of if you're on the road, you have, you know, one of the, if not the best players still in the league, and LeBron James. You have Anthony Davis, who is champion, who's been there. You have guys that, you know, that understand how to win, particularly what it takes to win on the road, and you let loose of a 20-point lead. So the momentum naturally kind of swings and sways into Denver's favor. And, you know, when you're the aggressor, when you're in control of the game, You tend to get the benefit of the doubt of call in calls. Like, let's just be real. That's just how it goes. And, you know, it is what it is. And Jamal Murray not having a great shoot night found his way. And it's funny how it all works because the NBA now is layups and threes. There's very few guys. There's a handful of guys who, still utilizes the mid-range as their package in their game, as what they use. Like, they still get to that mid-range. We talked about SGA, I think Kawhi, you know, I mean, Booker, KD, there's a handful of guys. And Jamal Murray got himself going by hitting a couple of mid-range jump shots. Obviously, he got some layups, which ultimately led to getting to a mid-range fadeaway shot. That's just being confident and repetition and believing in yourself. He said, one thing he said, I was like, interesting. He said, you know, over the past years, I've had that matchup. I felt good about it. I knew where I can, I knew I can get my shot off and get to my spot. He did that, had an unbelievable poster, which led to now moving the series to LA game three and game four. You know, I'll say this, game two. The question was, the Lakers need to get a third score. I said Austin Reeves would, is extremely important in their success, their Lakers, because his ability to score, defend, make plays for other guys to make the game easier. Obviously, D'Lo playing well, because a lot was talked about and it was all kind of forced or pushed at D'Lo's, on his shoulders, and he responded. So not only do you have AD playing well, LeBron playing well, D'Lo playing well, you gave him your best punch and you're still not able to win. So I just felt like it's just, you know, obviously going to LA, I think the Lakers will get one, but we're seeing right now that just Denver has the Lakers number. That's just what it is. It's like those matchups, and it goes back to it. I can already hear a lot of you talking right now, but see, that's why I said they don't need to win so we can avoid this and see Denver later on. You're right. You are right. You're 100% right. But the reality is, as players, coach, organization, if you do that and it doesn't work out, the noise is a lot louder now than it was when you go and play this series and you get swept, or you, the gentleman sweep or whatever. The noise is a lot louder because you didn't even get in the playoffs to avoid them. Yeah, you avoided the Denver Nuggets and you avoided everybody because you're going home. So got to understand, like, it's one of those unfortunate situations, you know, in my opinion. So remember, I talked about for Oklahoma City, it's unfortunate that Zion's not in, but it's a, I hate to say it, it's a favorable situation for OKC that there's no Zion, and, you know, they can kind of get themselves together where they can get a win. And you, on the flip side, like the Lakers, yes, I think it would have been a different series against OKC. Yes, I agree with you. But you do not, I repeat, want to take that chance. So they put themselves where their back's against the wall, where it can be. Now we're looking at sweep or gentleman's sweep or something, just because of the confidence. Hear me out, Lakers fans. Hear me out, please. It's because of the confidence. Well, we're talking reality. We're not talking about hate. We're not talking about jazz. We're just talking about reality. Yes, the Lakers are very capable of finding a way to, you know, get themselves back in the series. But Denver Nuggets right now have confidence and understand how to win and feel and are playing like that is just a favorable matchup for them. The end. So we talked about teams that are a little disappointing. That brings me to this team, the Phoenix Suns, who are number six, playing the Minnesota Timberwolves, who are 2-0 right now. Wolves, yes, they have a big three. Yes, Devin Booker is like that. We've also seen Bradley Beal, who is like that. But they also have Kevin Durant. And the one thing that kind of, I'm going to say, bothers me, I don't want to say disappointed, that bothers me with KD is sometimes I think KD forgets who he is. And I've said this to him, by the way, you know, and not knowing how he would take it or whatever, I said it to him. I was like, bro, you do know who you are. You are Kevin Durant, like you told us. Do you know who I am? And I say this because I think sometimes he's a unselfish superstar who understands the importance of other stars that he's playing with on the floor and gets caught into that and tends to forget that he needs to be who he is as well. He kind of did a little bit of that, for those of you who are Brooklyn Nets fans, when he was there, kind of taking the backseat to Kyrie. Not saying that Kyrie's not like that. That's not what I'm saying, but he's also Kevin Durant. And when he steps up, well, also James Harden. But I'm talking about when he and the two of them were on and Harden was out for a while. I'm seeing a little bit of that again. And, you know, and I'm fine with that. You know, you're allowing Book to be Book, and particularly Bradley Beal, that third guy who's been injured. Cool. But when your team's in a situation where it's middle of the fourth, 6 minutes left, you know, late in the third, leading into the fourth, it's time to show them who you are, bro. This is my opinion. You know, but that's kind of how it is. As a superstar, I was in a position where, yes, you understand how important your other guys are, because if they're going, in the second half, particularly in the fourth quarter, 6 minutes left in the fourth, you can just go out there and do your thing because they're in rhythm. And it's tougher for teams to guard all of these people. Or, you know, some coaches say we're going to stick into it where we're going to take Durant out and other guys get theirs. But it's hard to say that when you have a Devin Booker who can go off for 50-plus on his own. Same thing with Bradley Beal. So that's the one disappointing thing. And I think that's why, not saying this is taking nothing away from Minnesota and what they're doing. I'm just particularly talking about Kevin Durant being Kevin Durant. And I just, you know, he put up 30. That's cool. But, like, it's not a dominant 30 where he's like, we can't stop him. And you heard Ant Edwards say something about, you know, it was the point where he was just going a stretch where KD was going, we couldn't stop him. But, like, I need a little bit more of that. Not saying that Minnesota, who I think will win the series right now, my opinion. I think they're playing with a lot of confidence, and Phoenix has given them that confidence. I mean, they're the number three team, the Timberwolves, and Ant Edwards is, you know, I said, I'm doubling back. I said SGA and Jokic are the two best players. May I please add Anthony Edwards in that? Those are the three best players right now. And Ant is playing at a high level with a lot of confidence, and, you know, as a superstar, you know, I'm glad to see that Ant Edwards and Cat has come to an agreement, maybe, hear me out, of who's that guy. And at one point, Cat felt like he was team. And I think once he went down with the injury, that's when we started to see Ant take off. Now Cat comes back into this and kind of understands where he falls in this. He's kind of like number two guy. Nothing wrong with that, because he needs Cat to still have that same mentality, you know? And I think that's what we're seeing, and that's why it's worked, and we haven't seen the kind of the butting of heads like we kind of saw in the beginning, because it's two young guys with an opportunity to lead a franchise and be the guy, and, you know, it had to be figured out, and it kind of worked itself out. Kudos to Cat, because at the same time, you know, when Cat went off for 50, no, 60 something, he understood. And you can see even in these wins, Ant Edwards has not gone off for something crazy. He's had some crazy moments. We saw him when he was kind of going back and forth with KD, and we know he's very capable of it. But I also see it's about winning. It can't be about numbers, because at the end of the day, we're looking at them being 2-1 instead of 1-1, because maybe he's trying to force the issue because he wants to see those big numbers averaging 30 something, like we're seeing a lot of these guys averaging right now. As long as they're winning, that team understands who the man is, and when they need Ant to go crazy, they will. But Naz Reid is playing well. Cat, my guy Mike Conley, Rudy Gobert. It's a point that we see, like, when would you have ever had a conversation here, me or someone, or watching it yourself, of seeing Rudy Gobert being featured? But it's just now they're at a point where they just understand what works, when it's time to get guys the ball, and it's all working. The last time I've seen Rudy Gobert being featured is when I saw him play in the Olympics for his team, for France, and they were featuring him. But he's being featured in situations, and they just understand who they have on the court. And, you know, it's great to see, particularly when younger guys buy into, if this guy is going, we're going to give him the ball, and we're going to run with it. And you can see Ant Edwards every time out when he was on the bench, coming on the floor, jumping over guys, celebrating them, and he only had 20-something points. Maybe not 12, 13 points, but they have a win. And that's what's important. I think it's unbelievable seeing your superstar understand that at an early age, and that's scary. So all that to say, I do think Minnesota wins this series, but it's just unfortunate because I'm going to jump back to Phoenix, and I'm going to say this. Yes, the big three, I was like, wow. My question was, do they have enough? Do they have enough? And everybody's like, hey, man, they got three guys. But like, these are three guys. I still, you know, a lot of people have said, I do think they have a point guard because I think you're handcuffing Devin Booker into being a facilitator and scorer. That guy can score. Not saying he can't facilitate, but you could be a scorer and still be a facilitator. And you can have a guy who is a pass first organizer off point guard to get these guys involved. So I just think that's what they need. I just didn't think they had enough. My opinion. Obviously they can outscore anybody if the mentality and everybody's healthy and things are going right. And it's not quite there, in my opinion. Not yet, at least. Let's jump over to the Clippers, who are number four, and the Mavericks, who are number five. These guys have history in the bubble. It's 1-1. Clippers win game one, 109-97, with no Kawhi. And I was curious about that. I don't know much about what was Kawhi's injury, but he did come back game two, and they don't win. Luka and Kyrie go crazy, but so did PJ Washington. And I said for this series, for the Dallas Mavericks to win this series, obviously Luka is gonna be Luka. He's gonna play well. Kyrie obviously can, and we're seeing playing well. My first question was, will Luka continue to allow Kyrie to be Kyrie and make the game easier for him? It's one thing in regular season. It's another thing, when it's money time and you're playing for playoffs and all of this stuff, will you still buy into what you're doing? Because that has worked for them. And Luka is doing it. My other question was, who will be their third scorer? Because, obviously every defense, Clippers, like game one, their goal was to try to take Luka out and make it tough for Kyrie, blah, blah, blah. So somebody else is going to have to beat us. And PJ Washington has been great. He's been great. And it's a great pickup for him. Gafford, he didn't play great game two, but, as far as just activity, lively, their activity on the glass, you don't need them to put up big numbers. You want their rebounding numbers to look good, obviously, to play solid defense. You want them to try to get 10 points, 12 points apiece. That gives you 20-something points as a dual threat, lob threat, shot blocker. But their offense, those guys' activity on the offensive glass creates open looks, open threes. And that's what's happening. So, and then Kyrie's just going crazy. And, I know it's new for Luka, but, that just tells you, shout out to Jay Kidd, getting kind of, Luka to kind of buy into that, understanding the bigger picture. And that's, if we're going to win, we're going to win because of you, Luka, but we're going to also win because you allowing Kyrie to still be the great Kyrie Irving that he is. And then everybody else falls into place. And that is kind of happening. And you saw an example of that in game two, obviously. Mavs pull off a 3-point victory, 96-93. And I think they had three guys in, those three guys I mentioned, all scored 20 points or so. So stay tuned. The Clippers have been up and down with injuries, blah, blah, blah. Big Zoo was, Zubat was amazing in game one. I mean, obviously, guys stepped up because of no Kawhi. Then Kawhi comes back in, so the roles change. So it kind of, the back and forth, the lineup, not knowing your role, that's going to be something to watch when Dallas trying to find their way. Now they can exploit different situations, you know, guys not knowing what to do or whatever the case may be, not saying that the Clippers can't figure out, because Ty Lue is a fantastic coach and he's proven to figure that out. So I'm going to keep my eyes on that series. And that's tough. After game one, I said yes. I thought the Clippers were going to win this series. Oh man, no Kawhi winning like this. I just don't know. And that's what I love about it. That's what we got to love. That's what I love about it. Like, I want to be confused. I want to go back and forth after a couple of series. I mean, after a couple of games, not really knowing, because that means it's a great series and the great matchups are great and we're getting a little drama. Playoff time is the best part of the season in any sport. In any sport. And I think with the play-in tournament, the way, you know, it's presented itself, it's given us more of this instead of just when the playoffs start. We've already had some of this leading up into the playoffs of people positioning to get in the play-in tournament, people surviving to get in the play-in tournament, people locking in the spot in the play-in tournament. We saw a bit of this mid-season, whether we admit it or not. I think it brought more eyeballs to the game, which we don't get. We, meaning players or the NBA mid-season, because of, you know, some people just feel like, oh, it's boring. I thought we got some pretty good stuff in the play-in. In the mid-season tournament. So, yeah, this is just business as usual, and I'm excited about it. So that's kind of my thoughts on the playoffs right now. Obviously, it's going to continue to get more interesting as we move on. You know, we're going to probably look back at what I'm saying like, maybe I look like I'm smart. Maybe I look like I'm dumb. I don't know. But that's the beauty of this playoff, which I like, is like we have our opinions. We see what we see. And, you know, a lot of players, there's a lot of X factors who are going to really matter and make the difference in every one of these series. A few of them, a few of these series are going to be some X factor. It's crazy for me to say. I think Kawhi Leonard is going to be the X factor for this Clippers Mavericks series, because not only, you know, you want him on the floor, but if he plays well, he's tough to stop. And it's obviously that opens up PG, that gives Harden, that gives Russ a chance to go crazy. And I don't think the Mavs, if they're playing like that with Kawhi playing well, that's a tough, that would be a tough out. That'd be a tough guard for the Dallas Mavericks. And I don't think they can handle a Clippers that's playing that way. So stay tuned, man. We'll talk more about this as the playoffs moves on. And I'm going to keep moving on. The NFL draft. Yeah. My Bucks, you know, we did okay, you know. Shout out to Baker Mayfield. Shout out to Mike Evans. Yes, you know I'm going to big my team up first. I'm glad we signed Mike Evans. I was concerned. You hear the rumors like some of these teams. Like when I heard the Baltimore Ravens were interested in him, I was really concerned about my team and what was going to happen. And I think the Bucs organization, this is as a fan's perspective, we did the right thing. I think Mike has been great for us. He's been, you know, proven, and he earned his money. And I thought Baker played well. I didn't know if we were going to keep him or not. I thought he played well. He earned himself a contract, whether it was with us or someone else. And, you know, they took care of him. So shout out to those guys and shout out to my Bucs, and we'll see what happens. I don't care about y'all team. But the NFL draft, we have the much anticipated rookies now solidified in the draft. Obviously, Caleb Williams going number one to the Bears, with a lot of controversy leading up to it, whether they keep Fields or not, with the Bears trade the pick or not. I think the writing was on the wall once. Obviously, they traded him. You know, we knew what was going to happen. Then there was kind of some talk, whispers, if you would, about Jaden Daniels possibly going number one. I think he's fantastic. I think he's awesome. great arm, mobile, smart, can play in the pocket, all of these things. But it's just, you know, they want what they want. And, you know, he's that key, meaning Caleb Williams, you know, in my opinion, once you have a comp to Patrick Mahomes, how can you not go number one? You know what I'm saying? So, you know, good luck to the Bears. Obviously, Jaden Daniels goes to the Commanders at 2. My Tar Heel, Drake May, goes to the Patriots, which it was kind of looking a little rocky right there with J.J. McCarthy. Did J.J. McCarthy move up to 2? You know, it was just funny. It's always interesting as a fan, particularly in a different sport. You know, I still watch and listen like you guys do. Yeah, just curious to see when you initially hear Caleb Williams, Jaden Daniels, and then Drake May, and you know the list goes on, and then it just to hear it change, and it's like the why? Why has that changed when you were so sure in the beginning? And obviously, you know, you look at their workouts and blah blah blah, but it ended up falling like they talked about. Obviously, Marvin Harrison Jr. It's funny. It's always great to see the legacies. You know, obviously, my time playing basketball. These guys were in the league when I was around, the dads, that is. And now to see their sons, just like me playing against Dell Curry and so many other, you know, guys that I played against, and seeing their kids come in and doing their thing. And now Steph's on the back. Well, now he's older, let's just say that. I'm not saying he's on the back end because he has a couple of years. But it's just great to see, like, Marvin Harrison Jr. Like, man, I remember when his dad was doing his thing. So now – his son is in there doing it. And then Malik Nabers, which was that controversy. Like, it had me confused. It had me think. I personally thought Marvin Harrison was the best wide receiver. The Arizona Cardinals also felt that way. But I thought Malik Nabers was great as well. So, obviously, it can go either way. I think both teams would be happy. But, you know, I think these guys, I think Arizona got their guy. Giants got their guy. Michael Penix going number 8 was interesting to me. You know, I mean, obviously the talk with these guys were kind of late first round, or would they even be in the first round? They meaning Penix or Bo Nix. And Michael Penix goes 8. Bo Nix ends up going 12 to Denver, which obviously fits the mold of what Sean Payton wants and has had typically. And then J.J. McCarthy was that kind of that guy. He was, if you talk about an X factor, who's the guy that can mess up the draft? It was J.J. McCarthy, because he could have gone as high as 2 or, you know, where he landed at 10. So it was pretty interesting to see it all play out, and to see the hard work of Adam Schefter. All these guys, you know, the homework they do, obviously giving us these insights and to keep us guessing, if you would. And obviously, you know, the teams are going to make the decision of what they want. And we're just all assuming until we actually hear what we hear. But it was pretty interesting to hear 6 quarterbacks going to the first round in the first, 6 quarterbacks in the first 12 picks in the first round was kind of insane, tied a record, but like, that's just crazy. I mean, and then 14 offensive players, meaning linemen as well, in the first 15 picks, which is, says a lot about the talent that's out there. And there's a lot of talent, obviously, defensively out there, which typically defensive players go rather high. So, look at me, I sound like a football analyst, like I do this. But no, I pay attention, man. I'm a fan like everybody else. And I really enjoyed it. So, there you have it, man. We talked about the playoffs. We're going to continue to talk about the playoffs. So, you guys keep paying attention. And we're going to collab our notes and see if we see the same things and have our certain concerns about players and teams and coaches and decisions. And I'm interested to see what these young rookies, if you would, see how they pan out and what they do for your and my favorite team. We'll stay tuned. So, hey, I appreciate you guys once again paying attention, listening to me, kicking your feet up, and listening to the VC show. We're out of here. Let's go!
At At Bet365, we don't do ordinary. We believe that every sport should be epic. Every home run, every hit, every inning, every play. From the moments that are legendary to the ones that fly under the radar. Whether it's a walk-off grand slam or a base hit to center field. Whatever the sport, whatever the moment. It's never ordinary at Bet365. 21 plus only. Must be present in Ohio. If you or someone you know has a gambling problem and wants help, call 1-800-GAMBLER.
Imagine you ask two people the same 7 questions. I'm Minnie Driver, and this was the idea I set out to explore in my podcast, Mini Questions. This year, we bring a whole new group of guests to answer the same 7 questions, including Courtney Cox, Rob Delaney, Liz Phair, and many, many more. Join me on season 3 of Mini Questions on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your favorite podcasts. 7 questions, limitless answers.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Pitbull.
I think that education is the real revolution because as much as we speak about all the problems that there is in society and the world today, my mother's always told me, son, don't worry, the world's always been coming to an end. Don't let it scare you out of living.
Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.